Diane Ravitch is an author and public education historian turned education activist. She was in Charleston over the weekend to speak at the Red for Ed celebration on the second anniversary of the West Virginia teachers' strike. She spoke with Eric Douglas about the teachers' movement and her book, Slaying Goliath, The Passionate Resistance to Privatization and the Fight to Save America's Public Schools.
Explain to me what makes you an expert in education and education reform.
I have a doctorate in the history of education, American education specifically. So I began my career in education by writing a history of the New York City public schools because that's where I was living. And since then, I've written about a dozen books. And in 1991, I went to work as Assistant Secretary of Education for the first President Bush. So I know Washington, having worked there for 2 years and stayed on a year at a think tank. And then I became very involved in conservative think tanks. And I worked in various conservative think tanks. I was an advocate for testing and for choice and for all of those things. And then about 2008, 2009, I became disillusioned with the things that I had been in support of.
And you make the point, though, that this is that both parties are to blame. This isn't
right.
This isn't Republican versus Democrat sort of thing. The last couple presidents have played a role
right.
in this.
President George H.W. Bush supported choice. He didn't get anywhere with it. He supported testing. He didn't get anywhere. And then President George W. Bush promoted something called No Child Left Behind, which required every school in America to test every child every year. And the reason for it was he said there had been a Texas miracle. And 20 years later, we know there was no Texas miracle, but we're continuing to do what he recommended based on what in effect was a hoax. Then President Obama came along and he adopted the George W. Bush plan of No Child Left Behind. And he added something to it called Race to the Top, which was even worse than No Child Left Behind because it was very punitive, everything based on test scores. And I've become, I spent 7 years on the National Testing Board, and I've become a very strong critic of standardized testing. I don't think it's helping our children. I think that the more we test, the less that kids learn because there's less time given to instruction. And that leads me to why I wrote this book.
Go ahead and continue then. Why did you write this book?
Well, I'm in West Virginia today to celebrate the second anniversary of the West Virginia teacher strike. I wanted to be here to thank the teachers because what they did was incredibly courageous. They started a wave of strikes, teacher strikes, saying we demand dignity. We demand respect. We demand to be treated as professionals. And their example started a wave of teacher strikes across the country. It spread from West Virginia to Oklahoma to Colorado to California to lots of other states. I don't think that wave of strikes is over, but it really gave hope and inspiration to teachers all over the country.
What brought us to this point?
Well, we've had at least 20 years since the passage of No Child Left Behind. And really, you could take it all the way back to the Reagan 1983 report saying that our schools are mired in mediocrity. We've had one or two generations of bashing teachers, demonizing teachers, and we're not spending enough on education. I mean, you will hear people say, oh, we're throwing money at education. Well, nobody in the school seems to be catching that money. It's going somewhere else, but it's not in the classroom. When you hear, as I have, and see classes of 35 kids, you know that this is not good for kids. When you see that there are schools that don't have a nurse, you know that that money is not being thrown at education. As a result of the West Virginia teacher strike, I think the whole national narrative about education changed.
Did the teachers in West Virginia accomplish what they set out to and elsewhere, not just in West Virginia? Were they successful?
I think they were incredibly successful because what they did was that they unleashed a movement and they stood together for the first time in their lives. And they realized that they had power. And at any time in the future, if people are ignoring education, refusing to fund the schools, this could happen again. And it should happen again if the legislature continues to underfund the schools.
The legislature approved legislation to allow three charter schools over the next 3 or 4 years. why not give it a try?
Why not give it a try is we've had 30 years of charter schools. So it's not like you're trying something that's never happened before. It's happened all over the country. If charter schools were the answer, if vouchers were the answer, we would be looking to Milwaukee and Detroit for the as models. Detroit, about half the kids in Detroit are in charter schools. It's the lowest performing city in the United States. In Milwaukee, there are three equal sectors in terms of numbers. They have vouchers, they have charters, and they have a shrinking public school system. The public school system in Milwaukee is overloaded with kids with disabilities because the charters and the vouchers don't want those kids.
So where do we go next? What's the next step in fixing education in the United States?
Well, I'd say the next step is that we need to have a commitment as a nation to, first of all, having a federal government that recognizes its limits. I would love to see the elimination of the federal mandate of standardized testing. And I'd also love to see all these billionaires who are leading the privatization movement come to grips with the fact that they've totally failed. I mean, we've spent, as a nation, they've spent, and our federal government has spent, billions of dollars opening charter schools. The federal government alone has spent $4 billion starting charter schools. Almost 40% of the ones they've opened have either never opened, are closed right after they open. And in Florida, where there are about 650 charter schools, they have as many charter schools closing every year as they do opening. So this is like running schools like a business, and you put your kids there if the charter school will take them, and you may show up one day in January and find a note on the door saying, "Sorry, we closed."
That was Diane Ravitch speaking with Eric Douglas. Ravitch is a historian, an education activist, and author who was visiting the state over the weekend to celebrate the second anniversary of West Virginia's teacher strike. Her most recent book, Slaying Goliath, is about massive private funding in the educational reform movement that began in the Bush era and the teachers' movements that have spread across the country in its wake. Visit our website at wvpublic.org for more of this interview.